there has always been an air of secrecy in coffee roasting. Like,
so
nobody
weird.
Wants to share their roast curves. Nobody wants to say how they roasted their coffee or where they're buying it from, because it's like, ooh, it's my special secret recipe. Which I've always thought is quite silly, which is why I started my Roaster Cat Instagram.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details.
Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Yusufar, and this is episode 2 of a fantastic 5-part series where we're talking about the ego and coffee. And joining me is Kat Melham. Kat, we are today talking about gatekeeping and transparency. I want to start this episode with a bit of a story. I'm not going to name any names. I was having a conversation with a publication, shall we say, who had released an article that I had a lot of problems with because I knew that the article was a lie. And the article ended up being their most ever read article. And it was about some things that were happening at Origin. Everyone is going to figure this out. But nobody likes to be sued. So this is my experience from my opinion and my perspective for all the legal jargon that needs to be there. And folks know that I am very open about the fact that if I see, I call bullshit on everything. It's a big reason why this podcast is so loved. So I called bullshit on that article publicly. And then the person who owned the publication wanted to have a conversation with me about doing some work together on a consulting basis. And I was pretty clear that there'll never be a reality where that will happen. It's just not going to ever happen. And the person wanted to know why. And I kind of came out and said that it was because I don't agree with the standard of the lack of transparency in what they do. And I think that they act as gatekeepers of information. And the way that they gatekeep that is because their sponsors of their publication get to determine what information gets on that publication and what doesn't. And the response was, but Lee, people don't want to hear what's really going on. And I said, bro, 50,000 people a day that listen to my podcast beg to differ with you. People want to know what's going on. And this, to me, goes to the heart of what's fucked up and ego-driven about our industry. And the look that I got from this person was, he literally said to me, Lee, everybody's trying to do the best that they can. I said, you don't fucking get away with that. You don't get to say that. Because if we all operate on everybody's doing the best that they can, well, then we all get away with bullshit and fuckery.
Right. Yeah. You can't say that after the fact. It's not a justification. No. For bad behavior.
No. So what's been your experience with gatekeeping after that story?
Yeah, you just dropped the spicy story.
I mean, but that's what it is, right? Like, it's these people who are being driven by other agendas to determine what the industry gets to hear and determines what the industry gets to hear about. It's like a weird kind of coffee algorithm.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, that is fucked up when a small subset of people with interests in getting clicks, likes, sponsorships, get to control what information is released and what is not. I mean, unfortunately, kind of with ego, I feel like unfortunately with media, that's kind of how it is, has been mm-hmm. for since media began. Mm-hmm. Whoever is writing the story, whoever writes the history, whoever has the platform gets to decide what the story is and what stories don't get covered. But yeah, I mean, it's hard in coffee, like gatekeeping. I mean, so coming from a roasting perspective, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, coming from the roaster side of things, there has always been an air of secrecy in coffee roasting. Like so nobody weird. Wants to share their roast curves. Nobody wants to say how they roasted their coffee or where they're buying it from, because it's like, ooh, it's my special secret recipe. which I've always thought is quite silly, which is why I started my Roaster Cat Instagram, because mm-hmm. I was like, there's no reason for this information, the things that I'm learning, to not be available to anyone and everyone who wants to see it. I have been very fortunate in my coffee roasting journey to be in rooms where people are teaching me things, mm-hmm. to have access to information that other people might not have, to have, I mean, I love to travel, so I've traveled all over the world. So I've had access to different people, to different cultures, to different coffee experiences that not everybody has the mm-hmm. opportunity to, maybe because they can't travel or they don't like to travel or they can't take time off work or this, that, or the other. So yeah, I think especially from the roasting side, there's always been this like, this is my secret thing and I'm not going to tell anyone, which I just don't think is true. Like, I mean, and if you know anything about coffee roasting, every roasting machine is different. So, you know, I can share my roasting curve and you can try and replicate that, but your coffee isn't necessarily going to taste the way that mine does. Mm-hmm. Even if it did exactly taste the way that mine did, your customers aren't necessarily going to have the same flavor preferences as mine do. So yeah, I've always just thought it was so strange and silly for people to guard roast curves and roast approaches and profiles as like closely and tightly as they do. And also, you know, coffee roasting technology is so much more ubiquitous now than it was before. So that was another thing that I'm like, people years and years ago, like even like before I started roasting, they didn't want to say how they were roasting the beans. But like, you can't, like, if you're just smelling them, if you don't have like a roast tracking software, you're just smelling the thing and looking at it.
Writing down some data.
Yeah. Like, nobody's going to be able to replicate that. That's ridiculous.
No.
So, yeah, I think, and I also think that open source is the way to go. Like, the more information is out there, the more we can all learn, all grow, all progress together, rather than everybody just being quiet in their own corners. One thing that I started sharing on my Roaster Cat Instagram, some of the first things that I started sharing was just like tools that Black and White was using. When I started working at Black and White, they had scoops that I had never seen before that were so helpful for my wrist when I was scooping green coffee day after day after day. They had a hook blade that was made opening coffee bags so simple, easy, and I think safer, because the hook blade had, for me, it feels like there's less of a chance that I'm going to gash my gash my hands open. And so, yeah, but like nobody talks about those sorts of things, the like, you know, not even the specific roasting stuff, but like the tips, the tricks, the everyday roasting, like back of house sort of things that I think everyone should just know, but you don't know unless you see it somewhere first.
Out of interest, I bet that those are the videos that got most watched.
At the beginning, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's interesting because usually content is so silly and weird. Instagram is, you know, a whole strange, wide algorithm-based thing. But it is the videos that I create, I have found consistently that the 20-second videos that I create in the moment, very little editing. I'm just like, hey, I just learned this thing. Check this out. Like those videos pop off. And then ones that I spend hours on and I script out and I'm like, this is how to do da da da. They take me 3 hours to edit. They do fine, but they don't do anywhere near as well as I'm like, oh, check out this new, you know,
berry.
yeah.
I got to tell you, that was a lot of fun tracking the you tasting the difference between like the blueberries. Was it blueberries and raspberries?
Yeah. It was blackberries and raspberries.
Blackberries and raspberries. Yeah. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. And you could see you got like you were genuinely mind fucked by this.
I was. So for everyone who
catch them up,
doesn't know this, basically I was at the cupping table at Black and White one day, and we were just tasting coffee and describing it. And somebody was like, "Oh, this is like raspberry tartness," and somebody else was like, "No, blackberries are more tart." And so then we had this whole, basically we just had this whole discussion in the roastery on the cupping table about what is more tart and what is more sweet, a blackberry or a raspberry. And it was so interesting because the room was like divided in two. Like,
wow.
Like, this is what it is. No, this is what it is. So I asked my Instagram followers to vote like what's more tart and what's more sweet. And it was pretty closely tied, like
really
middle as well. There was on Instagram, there was a little bit more, like a little bit higher proportion of people said that raspberries were more tart, which is also my opinion, which I believe is correct. But you know, as we're talking about ego and copy, I'm willing to be proven wrong. So then I brought in raspberries and blackberries to the roastery like a couple days later so that we could all taste them. And I didn't do like a randomized sample. I didn't like blindfold at all. Like, but I was just like, hey, everyone, let's try these and see what we think. Also, it's not raspberry or blackberry season. They came from Mexico. It's only one sample. So it's, you know, this isn't like a definitive all raspberries are more tart than all blackberries. But it was really interesting to see folks who had said that they think that blackberries are more tart taste these raspberries and be like, oh, wow, that's not what I remember raspberries tasting like. Because, you know, we construct kind of ideals, platonic ideals of what is raspberry, what is blackberry in our minds. And this like taste test, actually tasting them, kind of changed people's perceptions. It was really interesting to go through that whole thing. And it was like a lot of people got really invested on Instagram, even though they're like, I wasn't really editing these videos at all. I was just being like, hey, raspberries, blackberries, let's taste them. So
cultural palate is a real thing, right? So when you did that, I went to the store and I bought, because the UAE, I live in Dubai, for those who don't know, and Dubai doesn't really, they're in the process of learning how to grow their own food in the UAE. So a lot of our produce comes from many different, pretty much every continent. So I went out and bought raspberries from a bunch of different countries.
Yeah.
Cool. And I'm like, because I'm a scientist and I'm fascinated by particularly the idea of cultural palate.
Yeah.
So that strawberries in one country and strawberries in another country, people can be confounded that the same fruit can taste two different ways. And I, my whole career, have had this conversation around cultural palate. And I think it goes to the heart of ego. When somebody is married to the idea that this is what a raspberry tastes like, and you can show them a raspberry from another country and say, this is also a raspberry and it tastes super, super sweet, even though yours tastes super, super tart.
Yeah.
It kind of drives to this core of the complexity of ego and where how everything really lives in the gray. And when we in as an industry, I didn't realize I was setting us up perfectly for the next episode here, but when we as an industry decide that this is what things should taste like and this is how things should be done, and so therefore everybody else should go and do things the way that I've decided it should be done, yeah, you're not leaving any way for the gray or the cultural palettes that exist in our industry to have any room to breathe. Whereas it, like, I feel like if we, because it was so beautiful when you did that, and I wondered at the time, did anybody else go out and buy raspberries or blackberries and start checking with their own reference, like what this was about? And this is why I think you are like the best coffee educator in the world, because you trigger curiosity in people that drives them to want to go to deeper learning. And it opens their mind about what the possibilities of things are. Mm-hmm. So it for me was this beautiful opportunity for people to start checking in with their own ego about, hey, maybe what I think is right isn't quite right, and maybe there is no right.
Right.
Maybe we all need to start thinking. This is why the concept of calibration for me is like the kindest part of the sensory experience in coffee. When we're saying, let's all consider each other in this. Because this bullshit of saying this is what a keem lime pie tastes like, how many fucking people have at Origin have tasted a key lime pie?
Right, right.
These flavor profiles that we use are really exclusive in a lot of those things.
Absolutely.
Which sets us up for what we're going to talk about in the next episode. A million people are going to rip us a new asshole when we talk about this, and we had said this before this series. But in this next episode, we're going to talk about roasters who decide that they want to tell producers how they should do things. So join us, folks. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon, and stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.